Jack Flaherty is heading back to the Tigers on a really interesting contract. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Monday, February 3rd, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on the Twitter machine. And Troy, I was worried about what we were going to talk about today. We saw a signing late last night. Jack Flaherty returning to the Detroit Tigers a year after he took a one-year deal to try to rebuild his value. He goes back to the Tigers, 2 years, $35 million. It's a $25 million salary in 2025. He has an opt-out, but if he starts 15 games in 25, then his guaranteed salary in 2026 goes from $10 million to $20 million. Really interesting deal. Really kind of surprised that Jack Flaherty didn't find the multi-year deal. I know he struggled after he left the Tigers for the Dodgers at the trade deadline. I'm trying to figure out if that's the reason why he didn't get a better deal, or if it's the fact that the Yankees were going to acquire him and backed out of the deal because of the medicals as to why he didn't find a multi-year deal somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that part of it is the medicals. Part of it is that he did struggle in his time with the Dodgers after the trade at the deadline last year. And he's really, throughout his career, he hasn't been the most consistent pitcher year over year, really since the first couple of years that he spent with the St. Louis Cardinals. Those first couple of years with the Cardinals, everybody looked at him like he was going to be the next big pitcher in Major League Baseball because he was just doing fantastic stuff on the mound every year. And then after about year three or four, he's just consistently been inconsistent, for to not have a good way to put that. But it's just, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Plus, he's getting older. I say that, and I think he's about the same age as me. So how does that make
me feel? He's 28. He'll be 29 in 2025, and we'll be able to hit free agency again if he opts out before the age of 30. That's nice. I think his birthday was October, so he's 29 now. This is his age 29 season. But he'll officially be a free agent right around his 30th birthday. So there you go. He'll still be younger for a long-term deal as compared to many pitchers.
Right, and it's just the injury history and the inconsistency, and apparently he is younger than me. It's just he's been in the league so long, I forgot how young he was. But it's all of that just rolled into one. He got a deal, and he got it before pitchers and catchers reported, so he did better than a couple pitchers last year.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty is one of those guys that's kind of been a little bit outspoken publicly, you know, on Twitter and things like that about how the Dodgers are signing guys, but everybody else could too. They're just choosing not to, and some of that stuff. So it's nice to see him get a deal, but it is kind of odd to see him have to go back. And to your point on the inconsistency, so 2019, his third year in the league, second full season, best season of his career. He made 33 starts, 196 and a third innings. Led the National League in both whip and hits per nine innings, was a fourth place finisher for the Cy Young after going 11-8 with a 2.75 ERA. 2020, only nine starts, ERA of close to five. And since then, kind of struggled a little bit. Wasn't bad in 21, ERA of three and change. But in 2022, only 36 innings, ERA of 4.25. 2023, he was traded from St. Louis to Baltimore. And it was after coming back from a major surgery, and he really struggled with the Orioles down the stretch. He had a 4.43 ERA with the Cardinals. He had a 6.75 with the Orioles, and they actually put him in the pen for the last couple outings of the year. Signs with Detroit, 2.95 ERA in 18 starts, 11.2 strikeouts per nine innings, 1.6 walks. After going to LA, he goes 6-2, but a 3.58 ERA. So his ERA goes up by 0.6 of a run. His strikeouts go from 11.2 to 9.9 per nine innings. His walk rate goes from 1.6 to 3.1. He gets to the postseason, and he wins a World Series, but he made five postseason starts with an ERA of 7.36. Right. 18 earned runs on 24 hits in 22 innings, 6 home runs allowed, 9 walks to 15 strikeouts. So a little bit of worries about kind of running out of gas, a little bit of worries about the injury, and, you know, it was the forearm, the back, some issues last year. Real quick, on the Tigers rotation, I think we see the Tigers rotation a bit differently. I like this I don't think it's the best rotation in the division, but I do genuinely like this rotation. You've got Tarik Skubal, the reigning Cy Young winner, at the top. Flaherty, if he can repeat what he did in Detroit last year, is a very good number two. I think Jackson Jobe is one of the top prospects in baseball for a reason. Reese Olson has shown promise, has to put it together. You brought in Alex Cobb. You've got former number one overall pick Casey Mize, an Auburn guy. You have a really talented 1-5 and Alex Cobb. And then you've got some promising pieces kind of in the farm system, in your AAA, things like that. It feels like it's good enough to make Detroit a legitimate contender in the division. But you feel otherwise, don't you?
Yeah, you're banking on. I mean, I think I like that Jack Flaherty is back with Detroit. I kind of have been banging that drum that he should be going back there pretty much all offseason. Because they have needed rotation help, and adding Alex Cobb is not really too much rotation help, but I do think it's a good rotation. I think that some people are kind of overblowing it. We still don't know for sure. Like, yes, Jackson Jobe is a top prospect, but we don't know 100% for sure that he's going to be what everybody expects him to be, especially in his first full season in the majors. I mean, he could turn out to be that in a couple of years. And then Casey Mize, he's been inconsistent and hurt throughout his career, and so you don't know what you're going to get there. But it's a very top-heavy rotation. I think Tarik Skubal is still going to be one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball in 2025. I don't think that's going to change for quite some time. I think he has firmly cemented himself in the top 5 pitchers of Major League Baseball since coming back from injury in 2023.
Ooh, we need to have that conversation and one day and rank these pitchers. I'm just kind of curious. I'm not ready for that. We're not doing that right now. We need to do that sometime in the future. Yeah.
But just as a whole, it's a good rotation, and they definitely have the talent is there. They just need it to be there day in, day out for a full 162 games. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs because I still need to see that offense take a major step forward than from where it was last year. And I need to see that rotation do what they're capable of doing day in and day out, and not just rely on Tarik Skubal and Tyler Holt in the bullpen MVP vote.
There you go. On the talent versus track record kind of matrix here, right? They're one of those teams that they have the talent in the rotation. They don't necessarily have the track record outside of Skubal being great, right? You do have teams that have both the talent and the track record. I'd look at your Phillies rotation as a team that has both the talent and the track record. You have rotations that have the track record but not the current talent because it's a bunch of old guys. I'm thinking about the Cardinals last year, right, counting on Lance Lynn to do stuff. And then you have rotations without either the talent or the track record to be successful. Probably the White Sox is kind of the easy go-to there. And so I do agree that they have the talent. They don't have the track record. And it's going to – the hope is that they don't have to go back to the heavy bullpen strategy down the stretch this year like they did last year. I do still think one more addition would be nice. Somebody who's been able to put up innings. Somebody who can take the ball every fifth day kind of no matter what and just give them that – even a dude who can – keep an ERA of a 4, I think would be useful simply because you're in a situation of you just, other than Skubal, you don't have a lot of that guaranteed reliable stuff. And in just a few minutes, we're going to get to their best remaining players at each position and kind of talk about where they maybe should go. And then heads up preview for the rest of the week. Starting tomorrow, we're going to start doing the team by team previews. We talked about the Blue Jays last week. So we're going to keep on going with the AL East. We'll probably do the Yankees, the Orioles, the Red Sox, and then and then ground up the rest of the week's news and the Rays on Friday. But I do think they need to get a track record guy to go along with the talent guys that they have just to kind of make it feel any better. Do you think that Detroit, some of the rumors were that it was down to either Alex Bregman or Jack Flaherty for the Tigers. Do you think that they are done in free agency, and that if they are, provided they can get the track, you know, get the innings out of this rotation, do you think they're good enough to win the Central to dethrone Cleveland, or at least make the postseason again?
If the rotation can step up to their talent level for the entire season, they do have a good chance. I don't think they're going to dethrone Cleveland, and I don't think they're going to pass the Kansas City Royals either. But I think that they have a very good chance of finishing third in the division, and with the American League West taking the step back that it's taking going into 2025, I think that there's going to be another wild card spot up for grabs. That and I know the American League Central got two of them this year, but I think that they can get two of them again in 2025, and the Tigers could be a very good team to do that. And then speaking of your adding another guy that can go every fifth day, he's not the sexiest, but he is still available. Patrick Corbin posts every fifth day. And he could come at a very cheap price tag. I mean, he's not good. And he's
Patrick Corbin going to pay you to let him pitch this year? Is that what's going to happen?
You could probably get him for league minimum. And I saw a tweet yesterday, and it was breaking down all of the pitchers that have pitched 160 or more innings since like 2015 or 2016. And since 2016, Patrick Corbin is the only pitcher in Major League Baseball that has pitched 160 or more innings in every season, barring 2020, of course. But it comes at a pretty high ERA. He did perform better in 2024 than he has throughout the rest of his tenure with the Nationals.
He did.
But it still comes at a high ERA, but he can be an innings eater at the back end of that rotation, or even as a swing man. He'll
post. There you go. There you go. Yeah, I do think that they're probably done for the most part. They are a very, like we've talked about this before, they are a very young team, yeah. Right? Like, looking at roster resource right now, everybody on the position player group, with the exception of two guys who are projected on the bench right now, are under the age of 30. Yep. And so I did kind of wonder, would they go out and get that veteran to go on the position player group? They technically kind of did when they got Gleyber Torres. He's 28 years old. He's been in the league for 6 years. Him and Javi Baez have the two most service time of the position player group, projected to make the team's opening day roster as a roster resource. But either way, it's still really interesting. Talking about other free agents available, let's go through each position and kind of the best players available and where they probably should end up, given that the pitchers and catchers report in like less than 2 weeks. Yep. Okay. Catcher, your two most notable options here, and I use notable in air quotes, James McCann and Yasmani Grandal. This one's really tough because these are backups. Like, right? Like, there's not – none of these guys are going to go be starters anywhere. I would guess if I had to pick a spot, I think Yasmani Grandal should probably look at going back to Pittsburgh. Joey Bart is kind of now the starter after he was acquired from the Giants. He – rebounded pretty well last year, right? Had an 800 OPS, put up 1.5 WAR. But Grandal, I think, is probably better than Jason DeLay, who is their current backup. And then the issue is they've got both Indy Rodriguez and Henry Davis on the roster. So they may not want to bring him back because they have two other catchers on the 40-man roster. Davis is back behind the plate again. Rodriguez missed time because of injury. I just don't really know. Backup catchers are so fungible for the most part. I don't really know where they should go. Like, Miami's kind of done the youth movement here. They still have Nick Fortes. They have Liam Hicks. They just have Augustin Ramirez. They just claimed somebody else. Like, they've got plenty of catchers. I don't really know for the catchers where they should go because they're just backups. They're not starters.
Yeah. Yeah, your best remaining options are backups. So, and it was a pretty weak catching class of free agency this year. Anyway, I'm with you on Grandal. I think the Pittsburgh is a good fit to go back there
if he'll have him.
Yeah, if they'll have them, obviously. And
don't yell at us in the comments, YouTube.
For James McCann, I don't know. Maybe Houston or the Angels somewhere, and somebody in the American League West.
The Angels added Travis d'Arnaud.
You're right.
Behind Logan Ohapi. So, I mean, Houston's a situation. You have Yanier Diaz. You have Victor Quarantini, who's a catcher and a first baseman. But he was not bad last year. And so, like, if you do it, could you maybe, like, battle for the third job? Cesar Salazar is the third guy. I think you're better than him.
Yeah.
But, like, what are the odds? Unless Quarantini's going to play more first base with Singleton. But, again, I'm sorry. Caratini's not going to play more first base with Singleton because they added Christian Walker. So, like, it's just so tough to figure out where a backup catcher should go. It's like right now, it's probably whoever will give you a job.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's
all right.
Not a good look for catchers. So,
yeah. Let's move on from these nerds. First base, we have Pete Alonso and Anthony Rizzo. We've talked Pete Alonso ad nauseum. Do we think the Mets would bring him back at this point, or have they kind of moved on based on their Cohen's public comments and all of that? And if they have, where should Pete Alonso go?
I mean, at this point, there's really only three teams that need a first baseman. So he's either, and one of them doesn't even really need one. They just kind of say they want one, and that's the Blue Jays. And then the Mets still need a first baseman to replace Pete Alonso and the Seattle Mariners. So, I mean, I think he still might go to the Mets. It's not going to be great, and it's not going to be near the contract that he wants, but it's going to be one that he more deserves.
He absolutely screwed that up so bad.
Oh, yeah.
He's butchered this whole thing. 7 years, 158 back in 2023 was the extension offer. Would have bought out 1 year of arbitration and 5 years of free agency. Turn that down, and he's going to be lucky, I think, to get 3 years at this point. Yep. All right. Second base, Jose Iglesias and Brendan Rodgers. Iglesias did not appear in the majors in 2023. Signed a minor league deal with the Mets, was called up the end of May, and ended up second on the roster with 3.1 WAR in something like half a season. So Jose Iglesias, Brendan Rodgers, who needs to add a second baseman?
Yeah, it's that one's kind of tough too, just because really Jose Iglesias is more of a small sample candidate than somebody that could probably do that over the full season.
His BABIP was .382. That's coming down.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But teams that need a second baseman, the Yankees still need a second baseman.
Here's my thing. Brendan Rodgers to the Yankees.
Ooh, I like that.
Dude's won a gold glove before. He can put up double-digit homers. That lets you put Jazz at third. I think he was below average from an OPS plus perspective last year. He is a righty, so he doesn't give you the advantage of the short porch. Maybe that's why they haven't done it. But he gives you the defense that you need. Mm-hmm. And then that means you can put Jazz at third, where I think Jazz can be really good. He's got an arm. He looked good there last year on the fly.
He's got two arms.
I don't know where Iglesias is going to sign as a backup somewhere, right? He's going to try to surprise somebody in spring. I had somebody ask me if the Braves should take Iglesias. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing in the veteran, but I money perspective, I don't know. But Brendan Rodgers to the Yankees feels like it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I like that a lot, especially with them adding Max Fried. They're going to need a lot more defensive help on the infield because they absolutely are. Pretty big ground ball pitcher. And right now, mm-hmm. if somebody hits the ball to second base, there's nobody there to stop it. So, but
what? DJ LeMahieu's not a good enough defender for you at second base? Is that not?
I mean, if he can crawl over to the ball quick enough, maybe. But
is that not a thing we're going to do? Yeah, Oswald Peraza. Okay, third base, Alex Bregman and Juan Moncada. Where should Bregman go?
If the Tigers aren't done, I think that he should go to the Tigers just to reunite with A.J. Hinch. I mean, his best seasons were spent under A.J. Hinch as a batter, and he's a good mm-hmm. defender, and he'd be a good veteran for that young lineup. He's 30, so he drastically increased the average age of their roster. But either the Tigers or the Astros for Bregman.
Nice. I'm going to say the Red Sox, but they're going to screw it up. And they're instead of keeping the Gold Glover third baseman at third, they're going to move him to second, which, hey, Alex Bregman had the weakest throwing arm of any third baseman last year. He still won a goal. He still was a good defender despite that. So it makes sense he would move to second eventually, but Rafi Big Scoops is not good at defense at third base. So you would have a really tough defensive infield. Tristan Casas, by the way, has one of the weakest throwing arms at first base. You just have a, you know, Trevor Story has one of the weakest arms at shortstop. You would just have a noodle armed infield out there. But I could see them, they have so, like, they've not been able to figure out second base, right? No. Is it possible that Marcelo Meyer, the top shortstop prospect, eventually ends up coming up and sticking and they move Story into second? Yes. But, like, right now, it's going to be some combination of David Hamilton, Vaughn Grissom, Romy Gonzalez. You've got a bunch more, you know, top prospect Christian Campbell's there, which makes it tough to bring in a guy to play second. I do still think you can maybe bring him in for third. There's options here, but nothing's really good for Bregman, and that's kind of what sucks, is there's no real great options. Moncada, I think, is a kind of a buy low backup only. Maybe the Marlins. Yeah. There's no reason why the Marlins should not be going out there. Like, you can't be like, oh no, we have to save playtime for Connor Norby. Like, you absolutely, that's a situation where you can bring in a guy, a veteran like this. If he works out, you flip him to the deadline. If you don't, it's kind of like Tim Anderson last year. You eat the money, you let him go. So, makes a lot of sense. Shortstop, Paul DeJong, Nick Ahmed are your top two. Ahmed's won two gold gloves. DeJong was actually hit 20 homers last year. Hit 24 homers, had one war at age 31. Was the starter at shortstop for the White Sox, went to the Royals and played some third base for them. Paul DeJong and Nick Ahmed, who needs to bring in a shortstop?
Yeah, that's probably going to be on a contender. They'd be a backup, really, even with Paul DeJong hitting 24 home runs and having one.
Oh, Ahmed's probably a minor league deal, just given the fact that he can't hit. He hit 229 last year.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, who needs an upgrade offensively at shortstop and could use Paul DeJong is the Atlanta Braves.
I have said this on the podcast before. Like, hey, Paul DeJong should come in. He's a guy that, from a splits perspective, right, he does have splits. Last year, he hit, I think it was like 40 points better against righties than lefties. You can platoon him and Orlando Arcia, and he gives you a high-quality backup if either Arcia or Ozzie gets hurt, because they both get hurt all the time. I've said this. They did trade for Nick Allen from the A's. It kind of feels like Nick Allen's going to end up being the backup in the infield, but I'm not opposed to Paul DeJong going to the Braves. They like dudes that can hit for power. He hit 24 homers last year. Like, he's got enough power for you. I think he's okay enough defensively. He can be a backup, compete for the starting job. There you go. Minor league deal for Paul DeJong. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, the splits with Orlando Arcia, getting Orlando Arcia off the field for 162 games would feed families. The Braves fans would be out. There'd be parades in Atlanta in what month is it? February.
Nice. I've got a really kind of obvious one here, I think, for corner outfield. And it is Randall Grichuk. Who needs to sign Randall Grichuk to be a corner outfielder? He's a righty. He destroys lefties. He hit .319 against lefties last year. Who needs a corner outfielder that can hit lefties?
Well, you know, a team that needs a corner outfielder that can hit lefties is not the shirt I'm wearing, but it is another shirt I have. And that's the Philadelphia Phillies, because
there we go. That's where I was going with that. I'm glad you picked up what I was putting down.
Yeah, they Max Kepler is a lefty. They brought him in, and they paired him with Brandon Marsh, who was also a lefty, and Johan Rojas, who can't hit, and Nick Castellanos, who also can't hit. So the Randall Grichuk.
Yes, he hit .254 last year. He just was the worst defender, worst outfield defender in baseball. But
yeah, absolutely. And I'm big on Randall Grichuk. I've always liked Randall Grichuk. I don't know why. I've just always been a big fan of Randall Grichuk, and I would really enjoy seeing him in red pinstripes.
There you go. Center field, Harrison Bader, Michael A. Taylor. Who needs a center fielder?
Well, both of those guys are really, I mean, Harrison Bader can provide some offense, but he's still mostly a defensive first center fielder. Mm-hmm. Center field is tough.
I got this.
Oh, yeah? Who you got?
Cleveland Guardians. Yep. You know who their center fielder is projected to be right now? Lane Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, no.
Yeah. And again, like, I like Lane Thomas, right? I don't think he's a bad player. But is Lane Thomas a center fielder? I don't really think so. Look at the situation the Nationals had last year. You know who one of their center fielders was on opening day? Eddie Rosario.
Yeah.
Lane Thomas is probably closer defensively to Eddie Rosario than he is to Harrison Bader. So you moved on from Miles Straw. He went to the Blue Jays. Like, you don't really have a no doubt slam dunk center fielder. Bring in Harrison Bader or Michael A. Taylor. That gives you the option of, now you've got Stephen Kwan in left, who is not coming off the field. You've got Lane Thomas and Will Brennan for right. There, guess what? Brennan's a lefty. Thomas is a righty. You can platoon as you need to. If Thomas gets hot and goes back to his original form, you can play him every day. If he doesn't, you can platoon him with Brennan. It makes a ton of sense to me. The question is, are the Guardians going to actually spend money? Bader made $10.5 million at the Mets last year. Like, I feel like he would be probably the fourth highest paid player on the Guardians if they signed him to a similar deal. So are they going to spend the money to get him? Fallback though, Michael A. Taylor. He was I think he was third among center fielders in DRS, and he only played 113 games. Like, if you want a glove only dude, go get Michael A. Taylor, and he's only a season removed from hitting 20-something home runs in 2023.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I like that a lot. Both of those, either of those to the Guardians, they could definitely use a center fielder.
Okay. Not going to ask which team, but just kind of who would you rather have? If you want to sign a DH, would you rather have Justin Turner or JD Martinez?
I'm a little bit partial to Gingers, as my wife and my son are both one. So I'm going to say Justin Turner.
Yeah, Justin Turner as well. I think he can still play some defense at first base, which is not really something that JD Martinez can do. JD Martinez also kind of dropped off a cliff as far as it came to his inputs, right? His exit velocities, his hard hit rates, things like that. I'd rather have Turner if it's me. That just feels like a safer bet than Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to starting pitching, here's the one that I'm thinking about for the Tigers. Your options are Nick Pivetta. Give me Kyle Gibson on the Detroit Tigers. He's made 29 starts and thrown at least 150 innings every year since 2017, obviously with the exception of 2020. So that's a dude who can take the ball every fifth day for the Detroit Tigers. And yes, he's old. He's 37. That's veteran leadership on a young team. And he's a dude that can go out there. He was league average last year, 169 and two-thirds innings, ERA of four and a quarter. ERA plus was 99. So right there at league average. Give me Kyle Gibson on the Detroit Tigers, and let's head to Lakeland for spring training.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Kyle Gibson is a fantastic fit. It's a lot better than Patrick Corbin, especially with that much lower ERA.
Yeah. Nick Pivetta is the other top righty left. He's complicated because the home run issues and the qualifying offer. He really should have, in retrospect, he should have taken it. He probably thought he'd have a better market than he did. For lefty starters. Sorry, go ahead.
When I saw that he turned it down, I thought that was crazy because he spent some time with the Phillies, and he's been better with the Red Sox, but he definitely should have taken the qualifying offer.
Him and Nick Martinez are the two guys that really, their markets would have been damaged by being out there with a qualifying offer, and Martinez wisely took the qualifying offer, but yeah, not so much for Pivetta. Okay, lefties. Andrew Heaney, John Means, Jose Quintana. Who would you rather have?
Yeah, Means is going to miss most of the 2025 season because he had Tommy John surgery in June.
Do a Brandon Woodruff kind of two-year deal thing, right? The Brewers re-signed. Like, they non-tendered Brandon Woodruff and then turned around and signed him to a two-year deal. Idea was he could rehab all of 24 and come back in 25. Means is a similar situation. He's a little different from the other two. So I guess it's Quintana or Heaney. Who would you rather have? That's on me. Thank you for that.
No, you're good, because I actually forgot about that too. But out of those two, I would take Heaney, just because even though he wasn't as good as Quintana as far as the ERA goes in 2024, he's 3 years younger, and you're going to stick him at the back of your rotation anyway, whoever gets him. Right. So I would rather take Andrew Heaney.
See, I think Quintana figured something out last year, right? He missed 23. So he came back and he only made a full season, 31 starts, but his final six starts, 0.74 ERA. It kind of feels like, yes, the Mets had great vibes down the stretch, but it kind of feels like maybe he figured something out. I'm not giving him a long-term deal. Mind you, he is 36. He's probably getting the Charlie Morton treatment. He's getting a deal with a club option on it, and we can just keep rolling it over every year if you want to keep pitching and you're still effective. But honestly, that's just banking on something like that. You've got to go ahead and see if maybe that was more than just a flash of the pan. And so give me Quintana.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you can't go wrong with either one, but yeah. So
this has been First Pitch for Monday, February 3rd. We're back tomorrow. Unless giant news happens, a Dylan Cease trade, maybe we're going to be start breaking down our division previews. Again, we mentioned the Blue Jays last week and kind of dug into that a little bit. So we're going to do this week, Yankees, Red Sox, Orioles, and a week end of week wrap up and the Rays. So in the meantime, you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. You're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when we drop the next episode. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.